Please. It has been good to be in God's house. Amen. The book of Philippians. If you're here today and it's your first time ever being at Living Water, or maybe in a long time, my name is Jeff, and we are so glad you're here today. Thank you for coming. I pray the Lord has already began to minister to you. We're starting a brand new series today. You can see what it's called. It is going to be very interesting. I want to say, by way of introduction to this series, two things. One, I am not speaking to any individuals. I always get accused of that. So I'm not speaking to any individuals. Two, I want you to know I love you. And everything I say for the next few weeks is because I love you. And now I have a question. Do you love me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. I had to settle that. What I want to do in this series that I've entitled Selfie-Centered. By the way, you've always noticed this yellowness here. Our projector's going bad. We have one on order, so it will not be there forever. I hate the graphics are always such an amazing job that she does on them. And then you got that little yellow spot. But ducks can be yellow, right? Is that not right? Baby ducks are yellow. It's a baby duck. That's a teenage duck. It's half yellow, half white. Here's what I want to do. In this series, and I'm going to hurry. I want to talk to you about the different struggles that we experience as Christ followers that interfere. I'll get that. That interfere with biblical values. In other words, the struggles that kind of headbutt each other between we have these biblical values that we know and principles that we know we need to be following and we know we need to be doing. And then there are these things that get in the way. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Does anybody have a thing that gets in the way? Just raise your hand if you have a thing that gets in the way. Okay, I'm in the right place. So I want to talk about those things, but I really want to zero in on one particular thing for this series. However, if you are going to, in like the next 30 seconds, breathe a giant sigh of relief because this isn't your thing, don't sigh too quickly, because whereas I am going to focus on one particular thing, it transcends this thing and it is going to touch your thing. What I want to speak on over the next few weeks is how social media gets in the way of our pursuit of biblical values. And I have like told a handful of folks about what the next series, people will come through my line at work, other area pastors and so on and so forth, and they'll ask me, you know, what are you preaching on, what are you teaching on, what's your church in the middle of, whatever. They just are very interested in what's going on at Living Water. And so I'll tell them, and I told them I'm going to do a series on social media, and not on social media itself, but how it affects our walk with Jesus. And basically, it's just about distractions. I think it's a very relevant subject to talk about this at where we're at right now in the world. One gentleman whom I deeply respect, he's an older gentleman, he said, "Ooh, do you really want to go there?" And I'm like, you just confirmed that I do. You just confirmed that I do. Because I believe we can have things that, with the best of intentions, we want to use for the glory of God. But man, there's so much confidence that we can get when we're invisible. There's so much poison that can be spewed. There's so many things that we can personify and we don't have much of a filter sometimes on our emotions or our words, et cetera, because we're invisible. And we're going to use social media as a starting point, but if you're not on it, listen, I ask you to stay with me because the messages will speak to you. And I also want to say right up front that I am not against social media. I'm on several different platforms of social media. I'm not anti. I don't preach what I'm against. I preach about what I'm for. Come on, somebody. I know that there's many benefits. So let's just get this out of the way. There's some great benefits to social media. I think one of the greatest benefits is that you can connect with people all over the world. That's a beautiful part. I think another great benefit of social media, and I'm talking about the likes of Facebook and Instagram, and you get the idea. I'm not talking about Tinder and other things like that. No, don't Google it. Trust me. But social media can make a big world seem a little smaller for us. You can reach out and touch someone. I probably owe somebody money for using that phrase. You can promote things that are important to you. You can push relevant causes forward. You can bring things to light that maybe others would not know about. There are a lot of positive things about it. But at the same time, with all of the incredible and great opportunities that technology provides, there are some unintended downsides, if you will, some unintended negatives, some consequences of social media and different forms of technology. And all I want to do is just raise some of those issues because it is in those unintended consequences and negative aspects of social media that gets in the way of our pursuing Jesus with everything that we have. And it is that I want to kind of deal with. And I believe this is going to be a very powerful subject. We're going to speak on it, whether the devil wants me to or not. And I'm going to speak on it, whether you agree with me or not, because I'm not trying to preach you happy. I hope you are happy in your life. But I have an assignment. And my assignment, I'm not going to intend to try to make you mad. But what I need you to do today is just be honest with yourself. If you'll be honest with yourself and be honest with allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you, whether you're on any social media platforms or not, about the things that distract you from your intentional and strategic pursuit of a closer relationship with Jesus, I'm telling you, I guarantee you, the verses that we read alone will convict. So I'm just asking us to be open. Today I want to start with the subject of contentment. Contentment. I want us to look at the problems that come up when we begin to compare ourselves with others. We can become dissatisfied. We can become discontented with our life when we look at the lives of others through the vehicle of social media. Think about this for a second. I don't believe there's ever been a time in history where people have ever had more than they have right now, but want more. And I'm guilty. And you are too. That's a global statement. If you're not, you don't argue. I'm just, many are. I'll say that. I'm guilty of it, and maybe you are too. And my research has proven that legit studies, both Christian and secular sociologists alike, are saying that social media is one of the biggest driving causes and the forces behind the spirit and attitude of discontentment. Because listen now, when we look at the lives of others, let's just take Facebook for instance. When we look at the lives of others on Facebook, social media, They look perfect. Their lives look perfect. Unless you got that one whack job cousin. And we all got that one whack job cousin that just puts all their junk out there. Are you with me? But generally speaking, we look at other people's lives and they look perfect. And here's why. They are putting their best image forward. They're putting their filtered self forward. Come on now. Stay with me. They are putting their filtered image forward. Now, there are some that will say, they'll put something out there that, you know, an article that they're sharing, and you know, they'll put a little disclaimer in there because of, to satisfy a little guilt, and they'll say, you know, and I can be guilty of it too. That's just a little salve on the wound. What we really are doing is it's our goal to project. It's kind of like family vacation photos. There's no photos that you put out there of the kids fighting in the back seat of the car. Ever. Be the first. Please be the first one to do that. Listen, I'll like it 100 times. You don't get those. What you get is everybody having a great time. Am I right? Wedding pictures, it's the same thing, man. Everybody's standing up there and they are cheesing and everybody's loving it and you got this perfect wedding party. You didn't see the bride 2 hours before yelling at the entire bridal party, getting ready to stick her thumb in somebody's eye because they can't find a ribbon. Are you right? So social media can breed discontentment. Because what happens is people put their best filtered image forward. So what we tend to do is compare. Listen, we compare. Write this down. God said write this down. We compare our behind-the-scenes lives with other people's highlight reels. Thank you, Jesus. We will compare our behind-the-scenes lives with other people's highlight reels. And it affects us and we don't even know it. We subconsciously feel like we're missing something. We see their best of their best, but we know the worst of our worst. For example, true story. I watched two moms on social media battle it out. I ain't gonna lie, it's cheap entertainment. One was a stay-at-home mom. Thank God for stay-at-home moms. The other was a working mom. Going after career. Thank God for working moms going after a career. It's your life, it's your house. You structure it how God tells you to structure it. And these two moms, although they were friends on Facebook, these two moms were going at it and they didn't like each other because the working mom didn't care for the stay-at-home mom because when she seen it, she was that Pinterest-perfect stay-at-home mom. A lot of times when working moms look at stay-at-home moms, they think the stay-at-home moms have nothing but time on their hands. And that's what this lady must have thought, that all she does is sit around and do crafts with her kids all day. You usually try to get away from the kids best you can. So there was all these things going back and forth, and then the stay-at-home mom was bitter at the working mom because, well, she got out of the house. She got to see adults. And like, interact and have conversation. And adults weren't pulling on her clothes. The stay-at-home mom was a little bitter at the working mom because she hadn't had her hair done in anything but a ponytail in 5 years. And had a stack of clothes over here, and she forgot which one were the clean and the dirty. I mean, these are some excerpts from this battle. Two people comparing themselves and longing for what the other one had. Both extremely discontent. But the only filter that they had to make these determinations was Facebook. I figured out as it kept going and it kept going, and as other people would interject their opinions, you gotta love it, right? As it kept going and kept going, they really didn't even know each other. They met one time at a park. And that was about the extent of their relationship, but yet they followed each other. By following, if you're on social media, that just means you can see them and see what they post and the likes. And so they followed each other, and they would see the stay-at-home mom would see the picture of the mom with the kids, and you know, they had a zoo day or whatever, and it's like, man, I never get a zoo day. I just want a Saturday off. And the stay-at-home mom would see the working mom at an office party. Like, man, look at all them grown-ups in the same room. Maybe you've been like that. Maybe you're at home all by yourself and you see your friends are out on a date and they're eating lobster and you're eating leftovers that you didn't even like the first time, much less the warmed up time. Or you see a friend at the gym and your gym is taking all of his sucked in gut selfie poses of his awesome gains that he's making, and you are like trying to single-handedly get Hostess stock to improve so Wall Street jumps. Now here's the thing. Here's the thing. You look at that and you compare yourself to this cat who's going to the gym, and you yourself are just trying to just like, you just keep cramming donuts in your mouth. And the thing is when you start feeling bad about yourself after the comparison, what do? You cram more donuts in your mouth. It's counterproductive. You become discontent. And here's the thing. It happens so subconsciously that you don't even realize it's happening. Now, let me sidestep for a second, because for those of you that are not on social media, you're like, man, this don't apply to me. I don't even know what the heck you're talking about. You even terminology I don't know. It can happen in real time. It can happen in the real world. It can happen at your job. It can happen with your neighbor. It can happen with others. Don't get lost in the fact that my subject matter is social media. I'm talking about a bigger principle here. The bigger principle is discontentment and comparing ourselves with others and how it affects our relationship with Jesus Christ. If you get that and you are with me, say amen. Here's where the problem comes in. The problem comes in, and this is where social media, begins to play a factor in the dilemma, is never before in history, like where we are now, can we evaluate or estimate or semi-accurately measure popularity. See, when I was a kid, you either assumed you fit in or you assumed you didn't. You either assumed you were one of the cool kids or the popular kids, or you just assumed that you were not. You didn't have a way to measure it. Come on, stay with me. You didn't have a way, other than somebody beating you up, you didn't have a way to measure whether or not. So that's why we created these little classes. You had the jocks, you had the geeks, you had the nerds. Anybody with me? You had the outsiders. And all of you fit into one of those, maybe more than one, and that's awesome. But today in 2017, your kids and you are facing a different kind of a dilemma. And this is where the discontentment plays in. You can actually pseudo-measure your popularity. Man, I've only got 300 followers. She's got 600 followers. What is wrong with me? And those of you that are not on social media, not on Facebook, and that you think, no grown-up thinks and says, you need to hear me very carefully. Yes, they do. In fact, I would suggest I can't even describe to you the magnitude in which these things play into people's lives. How many times people will check to see if what they posted, the article, how many times it was shared. We will begin to compare. Man, my picture only got 8 likes. The one before only got 12. My record of picture likes is only 26. Every time he posts something, man, he gets triple digit. It's not fair. So we compare and we summarize that everybody's life is better. In fact, researchers did a study at 2 major colleges, I should say universities. They had students spend 1.5 hour on Facebook, just 1.5 hour, not looking for anything in particular, just reading their news feed. And then they surveyed their feelings. They surveyed their feelings. They didn't survey reality. They didn't survey anything other than their feelings. And they were set up to monitors that were strategically placed so they could see heart rate, brain waves, things like that, so they could tell whether or not they were being subconsciously moved or changed by what they were seeing in their newsfeed. Here are the results. After just 1/2 hour, 1/3 of the students felt significantly depressed, citing envy as the number one emotion of what they felt after just 30 minutes of watching what happens on Facebook, end quote. This is an issue. This is a real 2017 issue. Are you with me? And what I want to do today is I want you and I to be very, very honest. I want to expose any discontentment that we may have in our heart, and I want to give you 3 categories of discontentment, and then I want to give you 2 things we can do about it, and we'll go home. And these will not take long. But I need to know if I've got gut level buy-in from you, because if I don't, seriously, we've had church. So I mean, we'll pray and be dismissed. But I've got an assignment, and you're not here by accident, but I need gut-level honesty from you. So if you're with me, say amen. I'll take that as majority rules. Again, we're going to broaden it beyond social media, but for those who use it, you're going to see yourself in at least one of these categories. The first category I want to describe is this: material and financial discontentment. One of the categories of discontentment that social media breeds is material and financial discontentment. Maybe you see someone post a picture of his car, now you hate your car. Here's the thing, you want to be happy for them, but you can't. You genuinely want to be happy for them, but there's something inside of you that won't allow that to happen. Maybe your friend bakes some cupcakes, takes a picture of it, shares the picture. You're like, Jeff, how does this even apply? You just follow the directions on the box. Here's how it applies. You look at the picture, you don't see the cupcakes, You see the knobs on the cabinets that are in the background. You see the granite top. You see the fact that they've got an island. If I only had a house big enough to have an island. See, it ain't about the cupcakes. It's about the discontentment that wells up because of everything in the surrounding parts of the pitcher. Because this pitcher is just bombing. And yours is not. Now, here's where it gets weird. You happen to see the mixer over in the corner, and you've wanted that mixer for 5 years, and you told your husband you wanted that mixer, and your husband, because he's a husband and he doesn't know anything, he says, the mixer you have is fine. It still, does it work? Yeah, then it's fine. Just use that one. So now you have weird feelings towards your husband that you don't even understand, and so now you think differently towards your husband, and somewhere down the road, there's going to be a fight between you and your husband, and it's going to be about something else, but it's really about the fact that, daggone it, Gertrude has a colored mixer, and that's the one you wanted, and you asked him for it, and he said you didn't need it, and somewhere something's going to boil up, and it's going to be about the mixer, but you're going to make it about the fact that he didn't take the trash out. I've sit across from too many couples talking about stuff that ain't the problem until we get to the problem. So you can't argue with me about this point, folks. It breeds material and financial discontentment, causes problems in your life, and you don't even know where it comes from. Are you still with me? You might see your friend at the beach again. You want to get away to the lake, and you can't. If you would be really honest, then you would say, Jeff, I have been guilty of this. There is a level where sometimes social media can breed material or financial discontentment in my life. Would you just raise your hand? Just join me in raising your hand. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, church, for your honesty. This is real stuff. Letter B, relational discontentment. I said relational. And now you know that at the end I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. So if you just want to raise it now. No, I'm just kidding. You see all your friends and they're together, right? All of a sudden across your newsfeed comes this group of eight dudes or eight ladies, whatever. And then they're out and they're just selfieing it up and pictures of what they did. And you're glad that they went. You try to be. But there's somebody missing from this picture of your friends. And that someone is you. And the thing is, you weren't even invited. You know in your heart of hearts you wouldn't have even went anyway. Come on. You wouldn't even have went anyway, but why didn't they at least ask? I mean, I wouldn't go because it's dumb. But why didn't nobody invite me? Now all of a sudden you feel weird with your friends. Now there's this crazy, bizarre tension. Do they want to be around me? What is wrong with me that no one wants to be around me? How did we go from a few people hanging out to no one wants to be around me? That's how your mind works. That's how discontentment works. Listen. Discontentment goes from 0 to 100 right now. Like right now. So You wonder what's wrong with me. Maybe you're not married and every person you know is married and they're happy and you're not. And man, you're like, if she posts one more wedding picture, I don't know what I'm going to do. You're just waiting on Mr. Right. I'm going to tell you to keep waiting on Mr. Right and don't scoop up Mr. Wrong, because I'm a busy man. I ain't got time to meet with you. I'm just kidding. Because you'll want to, trust me. Or maybe you see, you know, moms or families with their kids, and man, they're just having the time of their life, and you're just, man, they're at Disney World or whatever, and you look at your kids, and your kids are playing over here in toys that someone handed down to you. And now you feel like a bad parent because, man, these guys deserve Disney World. They deserve it. There's this relational discontentment. All of a sudden, you get this odd feeling about, you know, these friends of yours, and you can't understand it. You don't know how to silo it in your mind. Where do I compartmentalize this? Because I feel weird. I should be happy that they're there. Look, these kids are having a blast. Why can't I be happy? Because you are discontent, because you see their filtered best and you know your behind the scenes worst. And discontentment breeds. Maybe you follow or you're friends with, social media wise, you know the couple that you would think that they've never said a cross word to each other in the entire history of their marriage, and every picture you see, it's just he is just the best, and man, he holds my world in his hands, and blah 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 blah. And honestly, your throat is still sore from yelling at each other. Relational discontentment. If you've experienced that, or even then or now, and it's a very real thing, and you know it, would you just raise your hand? I want to see my audience. It's the same people. We're on to something. Letter C, the third thing that it affects, circumstantial discontentment. You're looking at your life and you're comparing it to someone else's and you're thinking, man, I wish I was where they were. You look at their life and you're like, by this point in my life, we're the same age. At this point in my life, I should be retired. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. And it's not. So there's these circumstantial things that you may or may not have had any control over. It doesn't matter the why. What matters is you find out that this is where they're at and they're loving life because of their circumstances, and you look at your circumstances and you say quietly and just to yourself and in your head, that should be me. That should be me. It's not my fault we got downsized. That should be me. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's not my fault that he had the affair, and now here I am. I'm a single mom, and I'm trying to raise these three kids. No, we should be them. And so there's these circumstantial discontentments that get bred through the vehicle of social media. I'm being real honest, this is the one that can trip me up sometimes. Because like me and my staff here and team leaders and volunteers, we work. But we also give as many or more hours to the church. And I would be disingenuous, honestly I would, if I said that, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, sometimes It just don't seem fair. And everybody in the room right now just said, well, dude, take a vacation. That's not what I'm talking about. And it's not a complaint. Please don't hear it like that, please. But I got to be honest and transparent with you, or I can't expect you to be. But the reality is sometimes it's harder to plan and takes more effort to plan to get away than it does just to stay. Are you with me? And not because of anything to do with the team and staff here. It's the other part of everything else of your life. And it messes with my head sometimes. Sunday nights, you know, you're exhausted. You know, the clock goes off at 4:40. And I'll see pics on Facebook as in my day. Maybe I'm rifling through and you see people on the lake and at a football game. And honestly, I wouldn't go to a football game if you gave me a free ticket, because that's torture to me. But I look at them, and if I'm not careful, I'm tired. Come on, stay with me. We're having grown-up talk. I'm tired. I no doubt haven't eaten right on Sunday. I'm already changed gears, and I'm focusing on Monday now. So that's a mental, U-turn. And you got all these things going on, and so if I'm not careful, I can become very self-righteous, and I can say, "You just go ahead, and you just get out there on the lake. I want to serve God. You're just going to hell." I mean, there's nothing. The lake is evil, apparently. When I'm tired and hungry, the lake is evil. There, I said it. Wow, that's a that wasn't from God, by the way. Just so you know, that was purely me just regurgitating on you. But seriously, I've got to kind of keep it in check, because I can be like, Monday morning. Seriously, I mean, Mondays are bad enough for a pastor if all he has to do is stay in bed and keep his head covered. And if you're here and you're a pastor or have been a pastor, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're listening via podcast, you just amened really loud, Pastor. Thank you for having my back. But seriously, it can mess with me sometime. And I know in my heart it's because I'm tired, and I know that it's me, and I know it's circumstantial, and there's nothing wrong with going to football games and going to the lake. And please don't misquote me. I'm no more spiritual than you are just because I'm a workaholic. I'm no more spiritual than you are. I promise. Somebody said this: life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you respond. I'm going to say it again. Life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% about how you respond. But here's the reality for most of us. It's the flip. It's the opposite. For most of us live life like it's 90% of what happens to us, and we really don't even pay attention to how we respond. That's when we take to social media. Are you in Philippians? What chapter? 4, thank you. I didn't know if I told you. The Apostle Paul was the master at taking things, good and bad, and responding in a Christ-like way with a Christ-like perspective. He was the best at it. And so I want to look at what I believe to be the best passage in all of Scripture that deals with contentment. But we need to contextualize it. He's writing it from a Roman prison, literally chained to a guard. His ankle is chained to the ankle of a guard. And every few hours, the guard would get changed, but Paul stayed where he was, 24 hours a day. So let's just put it this way. He's not on the beach with a little drink in his hand with an umbrella in it. He's in the basement of the basement, and then underneath the basement of the basement in a Roman prison, physically chained to a Roman guard. And he writes this in verse 12 of Philippians 4. The New International Version renders it like this in the 1984 edition. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have, say it, learned. Say it again. Say it one more time. It's not coming naturally, so don't wait on it. You must be intentional and strategic to learn. Learn what, Jeff? The secret of being content in any and every situation, whether I'm well-fed or hungry. In other words, if life is going the way I want it to, or if life's not going the way I want it to at all, I know the secret of being content, whether living in plenty or in want. You want to know the secret? Here's the secret of being content. He says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. This is probably one of the most misquoted verses in all of Scripture. We take, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, as some global Superman mantra. He's talking about one thing, and that's contentment. Now, do we have power in Christ? Absolutely. Are we empowered by the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Can we do supernatural things because of it? Absolutely. But stop misquoting this verse. I can say I can dunk a basketball and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and I can't touch the net. But what I can do, because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, is I can learn how to become content in my life. Because that's what he's talking about. That's the context of that verse. No matter what life throws at me, because of the strength I have in Christ, I can be content. So the secret of contentment is not found in what we have. It's not found in what we do. The secret of contentment is found in Christ and Christ alone. And here's our key thought, and we're going to jump right into what this means. The key thought is this: until Christ is all you have, you'll never recognize that Christ is all you need. Until Christ is all you have, you'll never recognize that Christ is all you need. You want to feel the power of contentment? Then you must learn, and you and I together must learn how to rely on the strength of Christ and Christ alone. We cling to him. We recognize that he is the rock. We recognize that he is the lion for our battles. But he is also the lamb that was slain so we can be in a relationship with him. Until we learn that our everything lies within Christ, we will never, ever, 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 ever learn to be content. It is within the realm of Christ's strength that you and I learn how to live content and with joy, whether you have plenty or are abased. It's not about getting another job. It's not about remodeling your home, although there's nothing wrong with any of those things. It's not about doing this on the side or that on the side. It's not about shucking and jiving. It's not about making this play or that play. Your contentment lies in learning that Christ is all you need and Christ is all you really, really have. But the challenge for us in America is we don't need God. We think. That's why it is so, so easy to have crusades where thousands come to know Jesus at one fell swoop of the gospel. They ain't got nothing. Come on. Until Christ is all we have, we'll never recognize that he's all we need. And we can search and search, and we can get all the likes that we want. We can get all the approval from people socially that we want, all the material things we want. But until we experience the goodness of Christ, we're going to be dissatisfied and discontent. Christ must become all that we need. So what will it do, Jeff? Well, I want to talk about two things that will absolutely and completely be possible when we learn to live in Christ's strength as it pertains to the spirit and the sin of envy and discontentment. Number one, in Christ's strength, we will stop comparing. Church, you got to stop. I have to stop. You have to stop. You're like, man, you're talking to the wrong person because I don't compare myself to anybody. I know I'm head and shoulders above everybody else. We'll talk about pride in a couple weeks. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. He said, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who command or commend themselves." In other words, you don't compare yourself to those who are putting their best front filtered image forward. Did you hear me? Paul said it. We dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they who only show you the filtered best side of their life while you know the worst of your worst, but they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves. And they are not wise. In other words, they live in their own little perfect bubble, and no one's ever going to see the part that's not perfect. So they compare themselves to themselves. And we have a tendency to compare ourselves to them thinking, man, they got it together. Paul's saying, they ain't got it together. You ain't seeing the real them. They're not being truthful. They're not being wise. So dare not compare yourself. And in Christ's strength, when you know that you are living in the strength of Christ and Christ alone, you will stop comparing yourself. Andy Stanley says this, there is no win in comparison. So you and I today must agree at a gut level to kill our comparisons. Why? Because it's not wise. So we're just not going to do it. We're going to be tempted to do it, but we're not going to do it. I don't care. Listen to me. I don't care if you've got to go home, or maybe right now, if God's telling you to do it now, do it right now. If you've got to hide 90% of those who you are friends with on social media, if you've got to hide them from you ever seeing anything in your newsfeed, because listen, you've tried everything else. You've tried ignoring it. You've tried not responding. You've tried emotionally not to attack it. You've tried not to feel discontentment. You've tried not to let it bother you. You've tried not to get angry. You've tried not to be jealous. You've tried not to get envious, and you've failed miserably at it. So either delete them and get out of their life or hide them so you see nothing else that will cause you to stumble or to keep you from living in the strength of Christ and Christ alone. Do yourself a daggone favor. That's free advice right there. That was worthy of getting paid for, but I'm going to give it to you today. I hate my glasses. It's 11:58. Okay. Can I tell you a story? I'll tell a quick story. It's related to music, of course. Let me tell you when I first experienced this, and then we're going to go to number two, and then we're going to go home. Let me tell you when I first experienced this. I was 15 years old playing with my father. We were playing one of the largest bluegrass festivals. We were playing one of Ralph Stanley's bluegrass festivals. And that long pause was, I don't want to be that guy. I'm not a name dropper guy. I just want you to get in perspective of what's going on here. We had a great set. And here's where I just want you to bear with me and hear my heart, because I'm gonna make this sound like I'm such a jerk. But I killed it that day. I was on. I didn't miss a note. I felt really good about our set. The whole band was on. I mean, it was like, you just knew it was right. And so we get done with our set. We walk off the stage, and there stand four or five of my heroes, including my father, who I always followed him out. And he turned around, first of all, and he said, "You about tore the neck off of that thing, son." "Thanks, Dad." Ricky Skaggs was there and said, "Woo-wee." And that's all he said. Tony Rice was there. And he's like my dude. He was such an influence on me to this day in that genre of music. And he said something very complimentary. Man, I was feeling it, man. I'm like, that was awesome. Well, a few hours later, there was a very popular band playing who the front man invited a 13-year-old kid on stage that happened just to be a stellar banjo player. And wouldn't you know that he also played guitar? So, yeah. But he didn't play it like me, where I intentionally mixed, you know, jazz and rock and blues and bluegrass together, kind of creating this unique style that was kind of different. And that's, I think, what made us stand out from other bands. This kid was like hardcore bluegrass, which was what everybody was there to hear. Duh. It's a bluegrass festival. And in all fairness, the kid was much better than me. And I say that without hesitation or reservation. He killed it. That's music term for he killed it. And so he gets done and he's walking off stage. And so I happened to do, and I wanted to tell him he did a great job. Well, I couldn't get to him because all the dudes that were telling me were now telling him, but they like at a whole different level of how, you know, he was going to do this and he was going to do that. And even though I had heard that before from those guys, before I knew it, that amazing feeling that I had was kind of flushed out of me. And I didn't even know this little dude personally, but in the conversation that my heroes were having with this kid, they were comparing the two of us. And they weren't taking anything away from me, but the comparison was clearly slanted. And at 15, I didn't know how to deal with that. And I suggest that some of us at 30 and 40 and 50, I'll stop, we don't know how to deal with that either. So, again, being completely honest, I turned and I walked away and I never did say anything to that young man, who, by the way, went on to just be an incredible musician. He was huge. But I never got to say the complimentary thing I wanted to say to. I missed my moment of being able to do that because I didn't know how to process the data of the comparison. Fast forward another 3 hours. It was our second set of the night. I was so out of my game. I don't know that I ever played that bad in my life. That little dude was in my head. So I said, "All right, dadgone it.
you want bluegrass? I'm going to grass this up so much that you're going to need to mow this stage when I'm done. I have no idea where that came from. And so I'm like, and so I'm playing all the classic bluegrass. If you're into it, you know what I'm talking about. And man, I'm just flat picking the junk out of it, you know, and it's all about being fast. And my dad, I stood stage left of dad. It goes by where you're sitting, not by where I'm at. I stood over there, and dad would step away from the mic, and I would lean into my mic and take what they call the break. And I'm playing my break, and dad would look at me. Because I was playing it different than I had always played it. And so he didn't know when to come in. He's like, that ain't how we did it before. And so the whole band now is like, it's a train wreck. And I want you to understand that comparison will cause the train wreck in your life. Everything be going along just fine. And then something will trigger something, be it social media, be it someone saying something, being you overhearing something, whatever, being someone getting attention that you thought was yours, whatever. And it will change you and it will cause you to bobble it the next time, if you even dare take the risk again. In Christ's strength, we will stop comparison. And I hope you didn't lose respect for me on that. I want to just remind you, I was 15, okay? Comparisons, you say, what does comparisons do? Comparisons will kill our creativity. Comparison will kill our passion. Comparison will kill our drive. And it does it without us even realizing it, so we're going to kill it. You say, Jeff, how dangerous is this? Well, I'm glad you asked. James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote in James 3, starting in verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. So bitter envy and self-seeking, it does not come from above. It is earthly, sensual, say it, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and say it, every evil thing exists within the realm of envy based off of discontentment. I don't know if you feel the weight of that. I do. You say, Jeff, we got to stop comparisons because it's killing us, and I would say, yes. Yes, we're going to kill comparison. You know how we're going to kill it? We're going to kill it by celebrating the successes in everybody else's life. There's no other way to kill it. Somebody else gets the promotion that you think you deserved, congratulate them. I don't want to congratulate them. God didn't ask you what you wanted for your opinion on what you wanted to do. He didn't ask. We got to kill comparisons. If you agree with that, say amen. You need to thank God for the blessings in your life. I said you need to thank God for the blessings in your life. Someone else gets something that you've always wanted. Man, that's awesome. Let it be a driving force for you. But don't be mad at them. You say, Jeff, why would I do that? How is that going to help? Because it purifies your motives. It purifies your motives. That's why we're doing it. It purifies your motives. Be glad that someone got to go to Hawaii and is skydiving down a volcano. You wouldn't do it anyway. But some of you would. Rob would. I found that in my own life and in my own heart, when I can't celebrate with others and for others, I'm limiting God and His blessing in my life because of discontentment. And I just want to help you to live in Christ's strength so that you do not have to experience that. So I'm asking you, be careful. Celebrate His blessings in your life and celebrate His blessings in someone else's life. Don't make anything that happens about you. because A, it's not about you, and B, people probably weren't thinking about you when they made the plans and when they bought the thing and when they went to the place. You're not number one on everybody's list. So why are you bugged about it? Just be happy for them. Are you still with me? Number two, in Christ's strength, we will stop comparisons, but we will cultivate thankfulness. Someone defined envy this way. Envy is resenting God's goodness in other people's lives and ignoring God's goodness in your own life. Oh, wait, because you got a couple fill-ins there. I wish I knew who said that. Envy is resenting God's goodness. I'd give him credit for it. Resenting God's goodness in other people's lives and ignoring God's goodness in your own life. That's powerful right there, man. I'm telling you. So what are we going to do? We're going to cultivate thankfulness and we're going to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. So Proverbs 15:15. For the despondent, every day brings trouble. Some of you know people like this. You might be this person. Man, it's a great day. The sun's shining. Yeah, it's supposed to rain 4 Thursdays from now. Really? 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 You want to steal my joy? It's sunny today. It's sunny today. Yeah, but you know what? December is going to be snow. We all know people like that, do we not? Man, that's a nice car. Yeah, the minute I drove it off the lot, it started depreciating in value. Dude, he's got a nice car. Relax. It's like you can't. For the despondent, every day brings trouble. And the economy's still bad. So upset. My kids are always brats. Blah, 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 blah. But look at this. For the happy heart, life is a continual feast. You know the person with the happy heart and the person with the despondent heart might be having the exact same day? Which side would you... Yeah. So why don't we cultivate thankfulness? Man, I'm telling you, man, we've wrote this off, and now I'm just gonna get personal right now. I'm gonna meddle right now. So I'm warning you. We have wrote this off as, well, that's just my personality, man. I'm just slanted toward the negative. I see the negative. I hear the negative. I think the negative. I the negative. This. I'm just, you know, it's. I just keep everything balanced. No, you suck the life out of people. And no one loves you enough to tell you that. Well, I can't help it. Yeah, you can. Be thankful. How about speaking gratitude? How about speaking blessings? Amen, Jeff. That's good. Stop using your personality as an excuse. Did you hear me? Are you made in God's image? Are you made in God's image? I got to wake you up. You're made in God's image. If you're made in God's image, there ain't nothing negative about God. So here's what we need to do. You've got to cultivate thankfulness because your garden is so weeded with discontentment that you can't even grow thankfulness or gratitude. So you must cultivate it. How do you do that? You've got to tear up the weeds, retill the ground, plant seeds of thankfulness and gratitude, cultivate it, keep it weeded. It takes attention. All you gardeners know what I'm talking about. You can't plant a garden and then ignore it. You got to learn to hate that negative spirit. Well, that's just how I am. Then change. Paul said, if you steal, stop stealing. Well, there's a genius idea. If you're Miss or Mr. Negative all the time, stop. Cultivate thankfulness. Because that's not your personality. That is your choice. It's your choice to be negative. I don't care who you are. It's your choice
to be negative. Well, I've saw 27 doctors and they've all told me that I can't help it. Well, they're wrong. Go to Dr. 28. His name is Jesus. And he's going to tell you that you're choosing to be negative and you are not seeing the good where good exists. Because envy and discontentment keeps you from seeing the goodness in your own life and you resent the goodness in everybody else's life. That is why you didn't get invited. Solomon wrote this, probably the richest man in his time. Some scholars say would be the richest man that has ever lived. I don't know. I wasn't there, so I won't say it. But he wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 9, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nicer things is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. See, I love this. I love this. Because he doesn't tell you not to dream. If you understand anything about his life, he dreamed about the temple. But he turned his dream into a thing. What he's saying here is stop dreaming and then cutting it off right there. I'm telling you, dream. Dream big. Dream bigger than you are. Dream God-sized dreams. Cultivate thankfulness. Cultivate gratitude. Stop comparing. Dream giant dreams and then put things in motion. Take the next step to make the dream a reality. Solomon is saying, enjoy what you have while you're pursuing your dream. But if you just dream and then you just stop, if you're just dreaming about nice things instead of dreaming and then doing something about having nicer things, it's meaningless. You're chasing the wind and you cannot catch the wind. And you will never catch your dream if you don't stop comparing and cultivate thanksgiving in your life. You want to have a continual party in your life? Enjoy what God's given you. I didn't say you wouldn't have a bad day. You're going to have a bad day. Holy cow, we're people. We live with other people. But the next time you say, man, I hate my stupid car, how about it started? Come on now. We're spoiled. We're spoiled. I'm telling you. I would never do this. I promise I would never do this, because some of you think I would just to make a point. I would never do this, but I wish I could just record when I meet with people. And I wouldn't play it publicly, but so that I could play it back to you, whom I'm meeting with. I think you'd be amazed at your speaking your self-destruction into existence. Man, blurb of good news, blurb of good news, blurb of good news, blurb of good news, comma. But moan, moan, moan. But then there's a blurb, and then a blurb, and a blurb, and a blurb. Grumble, 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 grumble. I'd have went around, but I'd have fell over. I'd be getting dizzy. I don't understand it. Your car started. That's awesome. You know what? If you've got a car, you're in the top 5% of the wealthiest people in the world. Wish I had a better house. Nope. Thank God you got a roof over your head. You say, Jeff, why would I say that? Because the last statistic says half the people on this planet do not have a roof over their head. Half. We're talking the whole globe. Half. Half. Man, my life is so crazy. I'm so busy, man. Man, how you doing? Busy, 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 busy. How you doing? Busy, busy, so busy. How about I'm so thankful I've got a family and children that are healthy enough to be involved in activities. Oh, something else I got to go do at the church. When are we going to stop planning things?
don't we have enough services and activities in this crazy, hectic children's ministry they've been asking me to volunteer in, dear God in heaven? This is the only chance I get to sit. I don't want to go deal with the kids. Grumble. And then there's that parking, and I got to walk all the way across the street, and I got to cross the street. Oh, God. Seriously, put me back in Egypt. How about every single week we see people's lives changed by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? How about the little thing that I do is helping someone else be able to hear the gospel that may change their life forever? How about me parking over there gives a guest a front row so it gives them a better access to get inside this place? How about, man, the kids are so noisy because they're healthy and they're having fun at church because you didn't have fun at church when you were a kid. Don't lie about it. We've got to cultivate thankfulness and gratitude. Are you still with me? So we will stop comparing because it's demonic. And we will have an attitude of thanksgiving. And the secret is, I can do all things in Christ because of His amazing strength that is inside of me. So the next time you are finding yourself discontent as a result of what you see on social media, if you will put those two things in play, you will see yourself stop being manipulated and motivated by something that's probably not even real. So let's not be selfie-centered. Let's be Christ-centered. God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for Paul's admonishment in the word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just visit us. Seal this message in our heart, that we would be a church full of people longing to know you and to seek you and to find joy and strength and contentment in your Son, Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you would say, Jeff, I can see it. You called me out. Social media, technology, my own mindset, it causes me to envy, it causes me to live oftentimes in discontentment. Or maybe you'd say, I'm not even on social media, but man, I'm there with you. I see it. I'm comparing. I feel dissatisfied. And you would say, I want to make the necessary changes I need to make, and I want to bring this before God, and I want Him to forgive me for it. I want to ask His Holy Spirit to bring a contentment into my soul. I'm going to enjoy what I have instead of longing for something different. I'm going to dream big, but I'm going to put some steps to my dream, and I'm going to fight discouragement by cultivating thankfulness. I am going to have a happy heart because I am going to kill comparisons. I will enjoy the goodness of God because I'm going to see the goodness of God in other people's lives, and I'm going to let them know about it. If this is you, and if this struggle for you is real and you want to take it before Jesus today, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hands right now. God bless you, 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 and you. All right, I want to ask you to put your hands down. I don't know that I've ever done this before in my life. Some of you, God is clearly speaking to me. I've never done this before. My spirit is stirring right now. I'm going to ask that exact same question again, and I'm going to ask you to be gut-level honest, because there's some of you in this room that were not. If it's you, you see it now. God is giving you a chance to make a move. We'll pretend the first one didn't happen. And with a gut-level honesty before Jesus, who is here at this moment, you would say, "Jeff, that's me. The struggle is real. Today, I will start learning contentment by taking the advice of Paul." If that's you, raise your hand in this place. That's what I thought. God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see the hands and the hearts. God, I thank you for prompting me to ask again for their sake. Lord, I pray that we would learn to be wise and discerning in the areas of technology and social media, that we would not allow it to manipulate our thought processes and our mindsets, but rather, God, we would kill our comparisons and cultivate our gratitude. And we will find ourselves longing to be more with you and limiting our time on social platforms. Because until you are all that we have, we'll never recognize that you are all that we need. So today, we will begin our journey in learning to be content for the kingdom and the glory of God. Thank you for the change you have made in my friend's life and in my life, God, even in preparing this message. Thank you for what you've done in the lives of those in this place today. All glory and all honor is to you. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Will you give God a shout of praise in this house? I thank you for your attention. I don't say that lightly. I said it Wednesday. I want to say it publicly again. On behalf of me and Miss Kim, I want you to know we love our church. We love you. Thank you for honoring us, and thank you for giving us the honor and the privilege to serve you. There's nowhere else we'd rather be. God bless you guys. Ryan, give us an announcement.
I don't have the website behind me today, so you guys don't have to worry about that. But coming up, the Women of Worth meeting is going to be coming up. It's always the second Tuesday of the month, and I confused myself. I thought it was this week because I was like, oh yeah, it's like the first full week of June. But it's the second Tuesday of the month is the Women of Worth meeting. So that'll be the 13th. There'll be a food sign-up sheet on the WOW Facebook page, and the message that was passed along to me is you can check out the Women of Worth Facebook page if anybody dares to get back on social media again. That's not the takeaway from today, though. It's about being smart and finding your own way to live. Hashtag no filter. Wednesday night is our Deep End Honors Reward series. It's a phenomenal series, and it ties into this series as well. Not like intentionally, like we purposely are doing this series because we're doing Honors Reward. No, but it's amazing how you can take one aspect out of one message and apply it to another part, and it ties into every part of your life. So please, if you haven't got a chance, come out and check that out. And then our baptism is going to be June 25th. You can sign up on the website or see somebody with an Ask Me badge if you want to get baptized on the 25th. And VBS is coming up July 26th through the 28th. Don't forget it, because it's huge. If you want to sign up to be a part of it or help out in any way, we could always use more people. It is July 26th through the 28th. Again, you can sign up online, see somebody with an Ask Me badge, see Holly or Chansey or anybody in children's ministry, and we will get you taken care of and get you signed up for it. Have a good week, guys. We'll see you.